I don't use subject lines to improve open rates. I use subject lines to improve revenue per session. So you write a subject line, people keep it in their minds. You want to set up your tests. Don't do your subject line tests on open rates. No. Do your subject line test on click-through rate so that you know you're picking the version that drove the most traffic. And so then look at the revenue per click or the revenue per session, right? For the two versions, the winner's going to be the one that drives the most traffic, but then study how it worked and see that it improved the revenue per session. And that's how you learn what subject lines work. And you know what? You should start learning that now. You don't want to start learning that, you know, halfway through November.
If you're a D2C brand on Shopify and you're not using Black Crow, then you're leaving significant revenue on the table. Black Crow uses your own data to help you identify customers returning to your site who would otherwise remain anonymous. The more customers you can identify, the more email and SMS abandonment messages you can send. You'll see incremental revenue almost immediately without having to change any of your existing flows. The best part? All it takes is a one-click integration. There's zero development work required. Head on over to blackcrow.ai/DTC to get started with a free 30-day trial.
Oh, we're going hats. It's all killer, no filler. We're wearing hats. I'm Eric. This is Jordan Joko, affectionately known on the All Killer, No Filler podcast. No flashcards today, I've been told. We're just doing a quick recap of Black Friday, Cyber Monday for the Pilot House retention team. Kick us off, Jordan. What's the high level on retention in 2023 for Black Friday, Cyber Monday?
Yeah, this is some stuff that that I saw. I mean, I wish that I could say I've reached a point where I can just sit back and be like a visionary for the team. That's not the case. I was like jumping in and just getting my hands dirty. So I got a chance to work on, you know, lots, like dozen accounts or so. And I just got to see some stuff. So, I mean, in no particular order, we needed a lot of messages. So this year it took a lot more messages to get the same results as earlier years. Competition for the inbox. So ways that we did that, HTML emails. Have some, even if you're like a full design kind of team, have some HTML templates so you can just put together a message on the fly. Hey, we need another message. We got to kind of fill a gap. I mean, you want to run your last year's daily revenue. I did this for clients. Like, here's every day last year for November. Here's every day this year. And look at what's going on there and see where there's a gap. Like, oh, wow, there's this huge chunk of revenue here. If we don't want to be down, we need to match that somehow. And so have some HTML emails that you can just put together a message on the fly. Maybe reinforce your main message, future product, etc. Text-only messages. A lot of our clients were doing this where you just kind of talk. It looks like an email. Looks like something from Gmail. And then if all your messages are all full design, then that means double taps. So finding a sneaky time, few days later, to just actually send the message again with a different subject line. A lot of our marketers will remove clickers so that someone who really engaged with the message doesn't notice that they got it twice. The one downside of that is you remove some of your most engaged audience, which makes kind of inboxing more difficult and kind of decreases your aggregate engagement. So
love the double tap. We did the double tap when we first started with D2C. We'd always be like, oh, you must have missed this and send it again. But we didn't have our segmentation dialed, or I think when we made the segment to when we sent it, there was a lot of people that had opened it kind of thing. And so we just got a lot of complaints of people being like, you sent this to me again. I opened it and clicked. And I was like, oh, okay. So we stopped the double tap, but I could see in the heat of battle, Black Friday, Cyber Monday makes a lot of sense when you got to do it.
I mean, there was the finding was consumers were spending less. So it just took more visits, took more messages. Yeah. I mean, in the heat of the moment, we needed those people in there. So we were fairly aggressive with people's inboxes. The ways that we did that, like with these extra messages, hey, product features, like if you've got a sale going on, just feature one of your products and then remind them, hey, this is, everything is whatever off.
In terms of being aggressive too, I'll just say, I heard a lot of people complaining that this Black Friday, like Black Friday used to be something where people like were hurting each other in stores. We don't want that. But now the aggression has moved to the inbox, it sounds like, a little bit, where it's like we're not, you know, we'll be as aggressive in the stores to get that microwave. But in the inbox, it's no holds barred, right?
Yeah. That's very true. And so we'll talk in a minute about how to manage that. Also, SMS, let's not forget SMS. So, you know, we were sending a lot of SMSs too. So there's a lot of that going on. Run side promos, double points, you know, for your anything to create an extra message so you can justify all those messages going out. Now, I'm not sure if it was in what way these things are related, but also there were strong results early. So there may be a little like early bird gets the worm kind of thing where consumers were spending less. So you got to get them to spend on your brand before they spend on someone else's brand. But a lot of people were starting early and getting good results early. So it's like, it's funny. I'm actually not sure why we as a society do Black Friday. It's the weirdest thing. Why not just, you know, decrease your prices 15% throughout the year or something like that, right?
And even the timing is arbitrary. With shipping the way it is now, where you can get things within a week, usually almost always, like there's no shipping constraints to actually having a product by the time. Like people are like extended until New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yes, that exactly. So starting early was huge. And so pretty much everybody's doing VIPs. And the thing about VIP is the wider the audience, the better. So just like do your full SMS list. They're on SMS. They're your VIP. Repeat buyers. That's a nice wide list. And so they have bought more than once. And so it justifies saying, hey, you're one of the, they'll just say, hey, I've bought twice. Yeah, okay, I'm on this list. And then you hit a nice wide audience for your VIP and get those results while people are still spending strong. Reinforce the message. So through all this, the one thing, so now we're starting early. We're sending a ton of messages. So don't let the core offer get buried in all this other stuff you're trying to say. Banner that reinforces the message in your conversion funnel support. Pretty much everybody's putting a banner in their conversion funnel support, so that reinforces the message. You're sending an email that's a product feature or something like that. Look, above that, make sure you reinforce your core deal. And here's the kind of what I want you to think about is make sure, because not everybody's opening all your messages.
Newsflash.
Not everybody is opening all your messages. Most of the people on your list have hardly any idea who you are. They maybe bought something a while ago. They've clicked an email 9 months ago, so they're still in your segmentation. They don't know or care who you are, really. So many people on your list. So
500 people listen to every D2C podcast, and we get about 30,000 listens a month. So there's a big delta between the super fans and the people that just will check in for the odd Jogo episode.
So make sure that that's the biggest audience. Your biggest audience is often a lot. So make sure your message, as you're doing all these extra messages, speaks to that audience. Tell them, dumb it down. This is the deal, right? It's all on all over the site or whatever it is, because that might be the only message they ever open. Generating an open is largely a random event. So on the off chance they open that message, make sure they see the core offer and that so that they know why they would be going to the site. I do something called a pre-hero. Let's do a little pre-hero. Clarify it there. And this is another, we kind of discussed this in that last talk, I think. I don't use subject lines to improve open rates. I use subject lines to improve revenue per session. So you write a subject line with the people keep it in their minds. So you create a little flow. They see the subject line, they got something there. They click, they're in the email, it's still there. They get to the site, it's still there. So you want to set up your tests. Don't do your subject line tests on open rates. No. Do your subject line test on click-through rate so that you know you're picking the version that drove the most traffic. And then most tools will show you the spending as well, the spend by version. And so then look at the revenue per click or the revenue per session, right, for the two versions. You want subject lines that the winner is always going to, be the one that drives the most traffic, but then study how it worked and see that it improved the revenue per session. And that's how you learn what subject lines work over the course of your season. And you know what? You should start, this is my little summary later, but you better start learning that now. You don't want to start learning that, you know, halfway through November. Some interesting stuff. One other point. Throw your schedule out the window. The schedule was one of the most useless things this year. This is when this is going to get sent. No, just throw it out the window and take a day by day approach to it. Some things that worked that were like retention.com. I don't know if we've discussed this tool. I've got mixed feelings about it. It's an interesting technology. I've seen some cases where if it's configured improperly, it causes inboxing problems, like severe inboxing problems. But we had brands that were doing well with retention.com.
And what is it? What's its mechanic? What does it do?
I will let everybody do their own legal interpretation on this as far as can, spam, and hassle. Everyone here, I'm not endorsing this in any way. So at some point, this is my understanding. At some point in the past, you've clicked something that says, yeah, I want to receive offers from this brand and their associated partners or something like that. You can imagine clicking one of those things. Okay, at that point, and also, listen, I may be wrong about this. Someone might get back to you and go, that's not how it works. Okay. It's just my understanding, okay?
I do know Kyle. I'll send this to Kyle.
Yeah. At that point, you are your device is fingerprinted, and then they've got listeners on different sites. And so if you hit that site, they'll say, hey, you've given permission to partners. We're a partner, so you're added to the list. Let me talk about really quickly how I approach retention.com. Lots of people are using it. Bottom line, clickers drove revenue. We had lots of people using retention.com. And we, as an agency now, have put together our own game plan to manage it, because it's one of these things that can work if you do it right. So clickers were driving revenue. Don't mix your retention.com list from the rest of your list. Keep like two separate sets of segments, so you can control the frequency and you can control, so maybe you've got like a 90 and a 120 and a 180 list or something like that. Two separate ones. So you can control which group you're sending to and how often you're sending. And you're going to get so many addresses with retention. They're like just plentiful addresses. So don't worry about taking them all. Just take the best. Take the best, ditch the rest, right? If someone has engaged, someone's clicked, hey, great, awesome, we'll take them. If it's like, if they've never opened and they're just sitting in your list, suppress it. Right, I don't usually do a lot of suppressions. I usually keep the addresses around when we use dynamic lists, but that takes a lot of attention. So like, if you're just kind of, you know, running the show by yourself and you're trying to figure it out, if they didn't open, suppress the address, get it out of your list, and kind of just take the best, ditch the rest. Now, if you do that, so you keep them separate so you can market to them separately, and you know you've just got the good addresses in there, it was a winner this season. Also Black Crow, a lot of our clients, like tons of our clients are using Black Crow. And it looks like a good tool. It costs a bit, if your list is big enough, it's going to pay itself off, and it's a really good tool.
That's really cool. Yeah. So is it segmentation? I know Black Crow has a number of different tools. This is
a bunch of different tools. Yes, sir. I was talking about conversion funnel support. So oh, okay. I'm mostly involved Black Crow in conversion funnel support, like abandonment emails.
Sorry, one sec, just scrolling through my inbox right now and reading some banger texts, like this recipe from Graza, this sale reminder from Brooklyn, and oh yeah, this gift guide from Dr. Squatch. What do all these brands have in common? They all use PostScript for their SMS marketing. PostScript is on a mission to make SMS the number one revenue channel for e-commerce merchants by delivering an easy-to-use platform where they can grow their subscriber list, develop and test their messaging strategy, deliver excellent customer service, and drive sales and loyalty all in one place. Over 12,000 merchants are using PostScript in their tech stack, and you should too. Visit postscript.io/DTC to receive an exclusive offer.
Just a couple more points here. This is less us and just more overall. Fill your funnel early, right?
Yep. You know, I mean, we talked about it all year.
Yeah.
when it's cheaper too, right? Like when do fill your funnel when it's cheaper traffic.
Yeah, because these addresses, unengaged addresses, what they respond to is 30% off, 40% off, whatever it is. That's what super unengaged addresses respond to. So if you put these addresses in and they don't buy up front, they're gonna be around for later on when you give that huge discount. These are these people that, like I said, these addresses where they don't really remember who you are hardly, right? But they're in your list. They will respond to that stuff. So if you start early, you're gonna have more addresses to market to. And also, we discussed this a bit in that last one. What was that last one that we did? The makeover?
Stinkers? There's stinkers.
Bangers and stinkers. Don't send a stinker to a stinker.
Yeah.
Right? You're gonna double stink it.
That's right.
Yeah. So reach back in a safe and compliant way. I showed a strategy to reach back. bottom line, the bigger your list is, the more dangerous it is to, more dangerous it is to reach back. So kind of with great power comes great responsibility. So you read the tea leaves, pay attention to your engagement, pay attention, message to message, how your engagement is. Because Gmail tells you it's not happy by dropping your click-through rate. It's going to see it. There are deliverability tools out there. We use some. I think we're actually, this year, we're going to launch a deliverability management service as an additional service to what we do.
Cool.
Because a future talk I want to have with you is turn your email channel into into a revenue engine.
Yeah.
Like just turn it into something that just turns out dollars.
Yeah.
And that requires information. And that requires, really, really clean factors for your inboxing. So there's deliverability tools out there. Hey, start studying them now, right?
Any shout out? Glock Apps, I guess, is the one that we use on the
Data. Yeah, we use Glock Apps. There's also, so Glock Apps is really cool for understanding how you're inboxing. The one thing about Glock Apps is it is, by the time something's not inboxing, it's not a reverse indicator. What's the word for that?
It's not a leading indicator.
It's not a leading indicator. Oh yeah. My God. So that's one thing about Glock Apps. It's not a leading indicator. You can get, there are tools out there that will measure spam trap hits, and there are tools out there that will clean spam traps out of your list. Different tools. There's list cleansing tools, and there's more enterprise level monitoring tools. So yeah, I mean, look, we are going to play with that more this year because I can already kind of predict 2024 is going to be a big year for, hey, we want results from email. So we're gearing up right now. Hey, we recommend you do too. And it'll be part of our service.
And you just mentioned you had to mail more to get the same results, and that may be a trend that continues. So list high or like hygiene and, IP hygiene, all that is going to be super, super important.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so again, when we talk about reaching back in a safe and compliant way, look, use these lists to like mop up afterwards, because like I say, if you pay attention to how Gmail is acting and other ISPs, but Gmail is most people's biggest ISP. It's also the trickiest, the most reactive to poor engagement. If you pay attention, you can usually, navigate any kind of indigestion that it gets. But bottom line, the safe thing to do is if you're reaching back in a safe and compliant way, use these lists to mop up afterwards. Don't get a deliverability problem in the heat of the moment, right? So kind of just think about how you're doing it. And then next year, I did make a little list for next year. Start early. I mean, this is a review from everything, but here's start early. Build lots of messages so you're not in the middle of it. Like, why not have some spares? Why not have some spare messages? If you don't use them, whatever. Flexible templates will let you create more messages. Have super engaged segments. So we kind of touched on this. We didn't really explicitly touch on this in here, but this was huge for us, is engagement frequency. And we touched on this before in the makeover, the performance makeover. Just recency isn't it. There's also there's recency, frequency, and monetary, RFM. This is like classic. Sears invented it in the 1800s, and it still works. So don't base everything on recency. Also cut in frequency. So you can have super engaged segments. And these would be people who've like interacted twice in the last however long, right? Or they've interacted in a certain amount of time and twice ever or something like that. So you have your super engaged segments. So when you're sending, when you're really pummeling people's inboxes, don't use your regular segments all the time. Use your super engaged. That's going to lift your overall inbox engagement rate. It's going to show that you're relevant to Gmail and the other ISPs, and focus on addresses that predictively drive traffic. That's what you want anyway, right? And so you're sending to these people that predictively drive traffic, so you still get those results. And then the other segments you use for your bangers, so that you can get the message out there, and all these people off in the periphery, you get them to the site. So build some super engaged segments, right? Just do it now. Clean out spam traps. We discussed that. Fill your funnel. Test and optimize your funnel support. So we did. I think we did discuss this in the last one, the performance super makeover. I get lots and lots. I see so many. I'm actually repeating myself from some audits I've done. So some people might recognize this, but people come and come and come and come, and there's just it's like it's random. It's like their conversion funnel support is just totally random. So test and optimize all year what works and get the right configuration. So what are you optimizing on? Click-through rate and unsubscribe rate. Pretty much, right? So you want the configuration that drives the most traffic with a low unsubscribe rate, pretty much. So play with the numbers. Play with how often it sends, how much between deployments, right? And get to a point where your conversion funnel support is really supporting every click. And this is not something you can figure out in a month. Like really, I would start this, if everybody out there, I would start playing with this right now and come up with some standardized settings so you can change these standardized settings rather than just all over the map.
Can you just be a bit more specific? I'm not quite getting conversion funnel support. It's literally just managing your overall email funnel. What does it mean? No, what is it specifically?
I apologize. Site abandon, browse abandon, cart abandon, checkout abandon is the conversion funnel support that we do. Some people do category abandon. We don't do a category abandon. And so it's like a wild west out there for what settings people do. But some important ones are how long before someone can go in again. So I'm in browse abandon. How long before I'm allowed to go in browse abandon again? You could do a month, you could do 2 weeks, you could do 2 days, right? If you do 2 days, people are going to go through your browse abandon a lot if they're regular customers, right? And then there's how many messages in there, how long between messages, all these kinds of configurations. So if you want to learn, you need to standardize the settings in there. So use the same number of days. Whatever your days are, use the same number of days across all of them. And then test, move the days, all of the days at once, on all of those at once, and see what happens to your click-through rate, see what happens to your unsubscribe rate, and study this thing. So because you can be scientific about it and do split tests. You can also just move it around and see what happens so that this thing is by mid-year, this thing's running awesome. Because, you know, if your conversion funnel support, it can be driving like a quarter of your Klaviyo revenue for sure, right? So if it's not, it's like, well, it looks like there's a gap and it's not doing its job. Final comment here. Oh, yeah, that's right. Turn your outbound channel into a revenue engine. And we're going to talk about that in the future. Coming up, I don't know when, maybe a few weeks or something like that. We're still fighting through Christmas. We got like a couple of days where we caught our breath and then it's going to be Christmas. This is like this
Q5.
Really cool. Yeah. Yeah, Q5. Yeah. So, but you know, start thinking right now about all the ways you can turn this thing into a revenue engine, because that's what it's going to need to be for 2024, I believe.
All right. Well, let's tease that there. I have a question too. Something that I chatted about with the Google team when they were working with Pilot House clients that were engaged with Pilot House on like in an omni-channel capacity, where we sort of had more sort of like brains under the same roof. I was curious if you saw, is retention just sort of fairly siloed and it's sort of irrelevant if a client is also with us on Google and Facebook, or was there benefits accrued by having people treat Pilot House as an omni-channel agency?
Well, I mean, like I said, fill your funnel early. So email is what mops that funnel up. So
yeah.
Email and SMS. So that's like, that coordination must happen.
Yeah.
And when you like think about it as a cohort thing, right? A cohort comes in, that cohort needs to convert in a certain amount of time. You should study to know how long it takes an address, to know when an address is like dead.
Yeah. Because
you don't want an address to get dead. So how early do you, for a big push, do you fill your funnel? 6 weeks, right? That depends on your customer. So that's one important way that that we work with our other channels, mm-hmm. right? To make sure that we are kind of converting everything that didn't convert by itself within a period of time that optimizes the recoup of that spend. And then there's just like so when an email sends, like the best way to understand the value of email is to just not send email for a sale and see what happens. Right? And everything's every channel goes because the addresses that we convert are also in every other platform. Because, you know, email didn't get those addresses. We didn't, you know, acquire those addresses. I mean, even if it wasn't an ads channel, it was organic, right? So all of your channels, when you get less email conversions, all those channels in platform metrics get worse. And the converse is true. When we send an email, all those in-platform metrics get better, and then people can spend more. So there's a proper way that the channels work together so that email boosts all the other channels so they can reach further, right? Does that kind of answer your question?
Yes, it does.
So everybody needs to be on the same page. Remember when I said throw out your schedule? Be careful, because your other channels, they need that schedule. They need to know when you're sending, because that changes the way they will interact with their platforms. So, essentially staying in touch day to day, like all hands on deck day to day, what's happening so that that coordination can continue.
Nice. Okay, well, let's leave it there. I'm excited to talk about the revenue channel transformation, because it's definitely something we're doing on the D2C side, monetizing users quicker when they kind of come into our funnel, and generating them for the purpose of monetizing for driving revenue. So that'll be exciting. I also just want to throw it out there too, because I just found out in my Spotify Wrapped that we have about 500 users who listen to like almost every episode. So if you're one of those people, I'm stealing this from My First Million as well. I saw they did this, but we've got some exclusive swag. And if you are one of the 500 people who like listens to every episode and listens like deep into episodes, like we're at right now, just send me an email, eric@directtoconsumer.co, and I will end with your address, and I will send you an exclusive piece of swag. And if you ask, I'll get Jordan to sign it for you. No, he's joking. He'll do it.
Of course,
you are the closest thing. You and Clifford, I think, are the closest thing to celebs on the D2C podcast. But anyways, this was fantastic, Jordan. Thanks for coming on.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all killer, no filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.